Good morning. Good to see you this morning. We are so glad you're here. Guests, we are honored that you're here. And I encourage our members to look around. I have met several new people this morning. And I would encourage you, before the service is over, look around. If you see someone that you haven't met before, introduce yourself. It may just be someone who's been here a while you haven't known, or it may be someone who's visiting, and let them know that they're welcome. We're continuing in our study in the book of Proverbs, and we're going to start in chapter 16 this morning. In verse 18, with a proverb that is probably fairly familiar to you, at least part of it, although we usually kind of push it together here. Pride goes before destruction, a haughty spirit before a fall. Better to be lowly in spirit along with the oppressed than to share plunder with the proud. Now, the women's cup is going strong right now, and the U.S. women are still going strong, have made it now into the quarterfinals. And so, with that in mind, I decided I wanted to begin this morning with a couple of videos of goalies getting just a little bit ahead of themselves. And when you see the videos, you'll understand what I'm talking about. So let's watch for just a moment. Okay, so he's proud of what he's done here, walking away, patting his chest. Something else is still going on. While he pounds his chest, the ball spins in. Okay, this one is really dramatic. That guy is devastated that his ball hit the crossbar up at the top. That goalie is elated, and that ball is still bouncing, and the goalie is still elated, and the ball is still bouncing. Now watch this dramatic celebration right here. I love this. Yes! As the ball crosses the line. And this is the same shot, just sped up. So this guy sprints in excitement. But the backspin will get you every time. The backspin, the side spin, it's still going. Okay, they're not turning the lights on because I want to show you one more clip. And this is a video from the 2006 Winter Olympics. It is the finals of women's downhill snowboarding. And I don't know a lot about Winter Olympics, and I don't know a lot about snowboarding, but I do know there's usually two different competitions in the Winter Olympics. So the downhill snowboarding is all about getting to the bottom as quickly as possible. It's just a race. There is snowboarding, the half pipe, that's all about the jumps and the flips and the tricks and the turns and all of those sorts of things. Downhill, there's no style points. You don't get anything extra for doing anything special other than making it to the finish line first. So let's watch one notorious moment from the 06 Games.
It's Lindsay Jacobellis extending a lead at the early stage of this course. She's got the clear line. Tanya Frieden on the outside. Oh, she's landed on the tail of a board. Frieden is out. She's slowed down. Mayo Ricker is going to struggle now to get the speed. Jacobellis looking very sure now to make it a 1-2-3 on American. Oh, Mayo Ricker going straight through the fence on the back of the A32. Ibrahimovic now for Lindsay Jacobellis, a seemingly uncatchable lead as she comes through. Through the curl, into the Colosseum. Lindsay Jacobellis is cruising now. She knows she's out in front. Mayel Ricker through the fence. Just in the back there, Tanya Frieden. Where is Dominique Maltese? That is the big question. Bronze medal. It looks like we've got gold and silver sewn up. Mayel Ricker in the fence is not going to be able to recover in time. Very, very unfortunate for her. This is a lap of honour for Lindsay Jacobellis. The Americans... Oh! Drama! Jacobellis is down! Oh, look at her! This is incredible! Frieden! Frieden! Unbelievable! unbelievable. Lindsay Jacobellis has thrown a gold medal away in the last 100 meters. Oh, what has happened?
Oh, you skipped one little part there. Do we have the rest? It may be too hard to come back to it. That's okay. That's okay. We'll keep going. Okay. So what you don't see is they show a replay. The announcer, who is delightful to listen to, I could listen to that announcer all day. The announcer starts to ask, what has happened? What has she done? And so they show a replay. We're on the last little jump. Jacobellis has such an insurmountable lead, at least seemingly, that she decides to have a little bit of fun. She decides to do just a little showboating. And you can see her there on that last jump. She grabs her board. Now, I don't snowboard. And it would be an awful experience if I did. I do ski just a little bit, not very much in my life. And so I like to say, if I'm skiing and there is ever any air between my skis and the snow, something has gone horribly, horribly wrong. Go ahead and get the ski patrol, get the sled ready, because I'm going to be sliding down on a sled to the bottom. Now, that's not the case for someone like this Olympian. This move that she makes is not a very complicated move for someone who knows what they're doing. It's not a high degree of difficulty, but it wasn't the point of the competition that she was in. It was completely unnecessary when you consider the ultimate goal that she was after, which was not the style, but it was being the first to cross the finish line. In this instance, Jacobellis seems to illustrate to a T the message of Proverbs 16:8. Pride goes before destruction. A haughty spirit before the fall, the literal fall in this instance. And this critique of unhealthy pride and haughtiness and arrogance, it shows up a lot in Proverbs. Now, I think it's critical right off the bat to distinguish between pride that is healthy and pride that is unhealthy. In fact, the word used for pride in 16:18 and some other places in Proverbs is translated or can be translated to mean exalted or excellent. It's used in other places in Scripture to describe the grandeur of God. In other words, it can be a good thing, but it can also mean pride in an unhealthy sense, as in arrogance. And it's same with the word that's translated haughty, a haughty spirit before the fall. Haughty, literally translated, is talking about something that is high, at a high position, or lofty, or raised up. And that's a good thing, or that's a neutral thing. But it can also mean haughty as in arrogant, haughty as in one who sees themselves or thinks of themselves as higher, as better than looking down at another. And that's not such a good thing as Proverbs is concerned. And both of those sort of depend on the context. I think it's helpful to recognize there is a distinction between healthy pride and unhealthy pride, because I know I want my kids to have a healthy sense of pride about who they are. I want you to have a healthy sense of pride about who you are. I want to have a healthy sense of pride about who I am as a person, as a husband, as a father, as a worker, as a friend, all of those different aspects in life. In fact, I think it's also important to recognize that self loathing is not a virtue. Only finding the bad in ourselves is just as destructive as only finding the bad in others. Constantly putting yourself down is actually God denying in the same way as constantly puffing yourself up. Both of those are destructive. It's good to have a healthy sense of pride about our bodies, for example, and to see and embrace, as Psalm 139 says, that every one of us is fearfully and wonderfully made. It's important to have that healthy sense of self, of who we are, because we know there are so many messages in our world that are constantly bombarding us and cutting at the base of a healthy sense of understanding, telling us that we aren't good enough if we don't measure up to certain standards of beauty and body. And so a healthy sense of self goes way beyond what clothes you wear and whether they're this year's trend or they're a particular brand. And it's not about whether your abs are ripped and shredded or your biceps are swole. Thank the Lord it's not about that, because I'm way beyond that. But it is about taking care of this temple that God has given us. That God loves us completely as we are, and He wants us to love Him with everything we are, our heart, our soul, our mind, and our strength, our body. All of it goes toward Him. And that healthy sense of pride is a good thing. It's good to have a healthy sense of pride in our work, for example. And this is not about thinking of yourself as better than someone else if your job requires a lot of initials before your name or after your name. And this is not about thinking yourself better than someone else if your job brings in a killer base salary and then six figs bonuses if it's a really good year. It's not about those sorts of things. But Proverbs does spend a lot of time talking about a healthy approach to work, and we're going to come back to that later in this series. And a healthy sense of pride about the work we do, taking pride in the job that we do, really comes down to the kind of thing that Paul talks about in Colossians 3, where everything we do it in the name of the Lord, not just for other people, but we work at it with everything we are. Because ultimately, we're looking to please God and serve God and not just the people around us. I think it's important for us to distinguish when we're talking about the problems with pride, and that does show up a lot in Proverbs. We're talking about the problems with an unhealthy sense of pride. And Proverbs has a lot to say about that. The haughtiness, the arrogance. It's actually showed up in quite a few of the things that we've already looked at over the first 5 or 6 weeks of this series. So here's just a brief recap, whether you've been with us or not. Part of the problem with unhealthy pride is that we have a hard time listening. Unhealthy pride makes us want other people to listen to us, but we don't want to listen to them. We think we already know it all, so they should sit at our feet, but we don't have anything to glean from others, which makes us not very teachable, not instructable, like we heard about last week. So we gain less knowledge, and we don't learn from our mistakes because, first of all, we'd have to admit and recognize that we've actually made some mistakes to learn from our mistakes. And instead, that healthy, unhealthy sense of pride leads us to blame others instead of recognize our own responsibilities and growth areas. Or as we heard about 4 weeks ago, we lose reverence and respect for God with an unhealthy sense of pride. But with a healthy sense of pride comes humility. And as chapter 22:4 says, humility is the fear of the Lord. It's wages are riches and honor and life. In fact, Proverbs connects humility and fear of the Lord several times. And remember this phrase, fear of the Lord, it's not about terror, it's about trust, it's about respect and reverence. Unhealthy pride means we lose that proper respect and that proper reverence for God. But it also means that we lose proper respect for others. And that's one of the things that keeps showing up in Proverbs when the discussion of pride shows up. Because pride ends up impacting the way we talk to others and the way we treat others. 14:3, a fool's mouth lashes out with pride, but the lips of the wise protect them. Translation, pride makes you say some stupid things. And it makes you say some really hurtful things, destructive things. Doesn't matter who you're tearing down in the process. And it makes you say some things that are really cocky and overconfident, even in places where you have no right to really be so confident. I like how the Message translates 13:10. Arrogant know-it-alls stir up discord, but wise men and women listen to each other's counsel. Message didn't leave much need for translation there, does it? The arrogant know-it-alls, they're the ones that stir up discord. Unhealthy pride is not a peacemaker, it is a problem maker. But humility helps us play nice with others. And here's the thing. The way we talk to and about others usually stems from how we see others. And unhealthy pride diminishes the way that we see others. So you may be familiar with this one, Proverbs 6:16. There are six things the Lord hates, seven that are detestable to Him. And coming in at number one on the list of detestable things to God is haughty eyes, which is also one of my favorite songs of the Eagles, Haughty Eyes. Some of you remember that one, You Can't Hide, You're a Haughty Eyes? Okay, that one connected with like 10 people in here. You're welcome, those of you who like that reference. So, thank you. Thank you, John. Because the rest of the people, you got it. You just didn't like it. And that's okay. There's room for all of us. I'm not too haughty about that joke. So, haughty, as you remember, talks about a place of elevation. It literally means that you are looking down at others. When you see others as less than you, then you have a tendency to treat others as less than you. And don't we see this littered throughout history? Isn't this the excuse for some of the atrocities that have gone on for thousands of years? That in order to justify the ways that we treat whole people groups in awful and ungodly and inhuman ways, you first have to start with seeing them as less than human, less than you, less than worthy. And there's a huge problem with that for a God who loves everyone equally, who is interested in equality and justice and fairness. So we hear in Proverbs 3:34, God mocks proud mockers, but shows favor to the humble and the oppressed. This verse is actually referenced both in the New Testament books of James and 1 Peter. And both times, it's used to urge the church to be a place of humility and a people of humility who aren't elevating some over others, but are working toward equal love, equal concern, equality among the people of God. And part of that equality means elevating, lifting up those who are often pushed down by society. The poor, the widow, the orphan, the foreigner or alien in your midst. God will put those intent on put downs in their place. Isn't that what Jesus says? All the times you are determined to lift yourself up, to exalt yourself, to put yourself in that haughty place, you will be humbled. But it is the humble who are exalted. So I think it's helpful to recognize that healthy pride is not based on comparison, how you measure up to someone else or how they measure up to you. Let me ask you, how often does insecurity mask itself as arrogance? How often are those who are haughty actually trying to hide all of their insecurities, all the places that they don't feel worthy? And how many times do people try to arrive at a place of self-pride through prejudice? Whether it's conscious or whether it is subconscious, how often do we try to build ourselves up by tearing others down, even if it's only in our own minds? A person of one race or ethnicity thinking of themselves as supreme compared to another. A man thinking he's better than a woman, or a woman thinking she's better than a man. A person who works one job thinking that they're better because they work that job instead of another job. Or citizens of one country who think they are better than citizens of another country or all other countries. So Seaborn reminded us, we know we have a holiday coming up this week, one of my favorite holidays, and I'm going to be celebrating right there next to the rest of you as we celebrate our independence, as we celebrate the 4th of July, as we watch those fireworks. But I urge you to remember, as Christians, pride in our country should never mean thinking less or treating as less people who are from another country. If we know where our citizenship ultimately lies, if we know the King that we serve, if we know that God's kingdom existed long before ours and God's kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, then we can have pride, everyone, in the nations in which we find ourselves, while we long for the day when God calls together people from every nation and tribe and tongue, and we all bend our knee to the King of Kings. A healthy sense of pride is not based on comparison, it's based on creation. The God who created everyone in God's image, and there is nothing you or I can add to that or take away from that. And a healthy sense of pride is not based on comparison, but it's based on God's new creation. That God, through Jesus, is doing something new. He's reconciling the world, bringing the world back to Himself. And if we are in Christ, Paul says, we don't see each other the same way anymore through the old, tired, worn-out lenses. We see people through the lenses of Christ because God's newness is changing us and changing the way we see the world. And that starts with all the times that we gather as a church. When we gather as a church, we especially remember that healthy pride means ours is not a comparison that leads to condemnation. When Paul's addressing the Jews and the Gentiles, and there's a big divide in the early church, in Romans 2:1, after he's talked about the Gentiles, he turns to the Jews who he's alluding to are feeling a little haughty, feeling a little high compared to the Gentiles. And so Paul puts them in their place. When you say they are wicked and should be punished, you're condemning yourself. For you who judge others do these very same things. For healthy pride in the place of condemnation, we offer confession. We humble ourselves so God lifts us up. Every one of us has our ups and our downs. We have our highs and we have our lows. We have our successes and we have our sins. And so we give thanks for all of the good, and God has given us so much good, and we give thanks for all the places we fall short of the goodness of God, that God is still good, that God is still faithful, that we are here not because of our goodness, but because of God's graciousness. For it is by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not from yourselves. It is the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. Our pride is in who God made us and who God is making us. And we see that same grace at work in those around us. No more, no less. And so here's the prayer going to be praying this week for me, and I'm going to be praying for you, and I encourage you to pray for it as well and make it your aim this week. And it comes from Romans 12:3. Don't think you're any better than you really are. And I would add, because of who God made you and who God is making you, don't think you're any less than you really are. Instead, be honest in your evaluation of yourselves, measuring yourselves by the faith God has given.